The meeting of the Committee on Ethics will come to order. This is January 30th. This is more or less our organizational meeting. The clerk has noted the role. We have a quorum. So we'll begin our official business by calling Patrick Murphy to the table. What did I say? Patrick Murphy? I'm sorry. No. Yes, I know it's Patrick McCormick. To the table to walk us through the House Rule 6.10.
Madam Chair, members, a couple of small points before I get to House Rule 6.10. Minnesota Constitution gives legislators the right to punish members for disorderly behavior, and that's a quote from Article 4, Section 7 of the Constitution. And that means that although members are, of course, subject to all the laws, statutes, and ordinances of any citizen in the state of Minnesota, behavior of members is subject to regulation by members. And the House creates, therefore, under that constitutional power, a set of rules for regulating how an ethics complaint could go forward. Just a quick note, for the record, my name is Patrick McCormick. I'm Director of House Research. I'm staff for this committee, but we also have three attorneys who are House counsel here. I'm going to have them raise their hands. One is Ben Weeks.
Welcome, Mr. Weeks.
Mary Mullen.
Welcome, Ms. Mullen.
And Matt Gehring. And on any given ethics complaint, I will staff that with one or maybe all of these attorneys moving forward. House Rule 6.10, which is in effect under the adoption of temporary House rules, governs the behavior of this committee. I'm going to hit a couple highlights fairly quickly because of, and the first thing to note about House Rule 6.10 is that an ethics complaint must be filed with the speaker. The speaker has appointed you to the Committee on Ethics. There are two members of each of the two caucuses, and there is an extra member, a backup member for each caucus. You will receive complaints from the speaker. The speaker receives complaints which are in writing under oath and signed by two or more members of the House of Representatives. This filter is put in place and is a long-standing requirement which helps to prevent and was one of the reasons how we prevent frivolous complaints or anger complaints. The requirement that two members have signed this complaint raises a barrier to any member filing a complaint. And it's under oath. In order to protect the person complained against, the complainants must cause a copy of the complaint and any supporting materials to be delivered to any member named in the complaint. And then within 7 days after receiving a complaint, the speaker must refer the complaint to the Ethics Committee for processing by the committee according to its rules of procedure. In a few minutes, we will adopt our rules of procedure, and they outline how we would deal with any complaint that was delivered to us by the speaker. In each individual complaint, there may be some need to retrofit the rules, or there's some flexibility. Different kinds of complaints have different factual components, and that's something that the chair, in consultation with the members, could deal with. But in general, the rules of procedure provide us an outline of how we would go forward. And the key and important fact is that most of the proceedings, except if specifically called for by the chair in specific circumstances, most of the proceedings are in public. The rest of the rule outlines the fact that the committee must act in an investigatory capacity and may make any complaints, recommendations regarding complaints submitted to the speaker before adjournment sine die. Our first and foremost procedure is to conduct a probable cause hearing to decide if there is probable cause to go forward as an ethics committee with an investigation. And that is something that we conduct after having received the complaint. Our office works as your staff, as staff to this committee. We do not work for any members who are part of the complaint, either to the members making the complaint or to members who are complained about. So we will provide you with whatever background and information you need. The committee procedures that we are going to consider, are there should be in your packet, provide some flesh to the bones of the Rule 6.10. And I'll transition to a brief description of what these committee procedures do. First of all, we outline our purpose, which is to a fairly narrow purpose, to review and dispose of complaints against members, to make recommendations regarding ethical guidelines, to consider complaints alleging violations of open meeting requirements, and to consider matters referred to it by either the Speaker or the Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration of the House. So the purpose is to deal with ethical matters that are referred to the committee, either an ethical complaint or a matter that the Rules Committee determines that the Ethics Committee should weigh in on. The Ethics Committee does not enact punishments for an ethical complaint. The Ethics Committee recommends punishments to the body. The power to punish is the power of the body. In our rules of procedure, complaints are received by two or more members of the House in writing and under oath, and we deal with the complaint unless withdrawn. If a complaint is withdrawn, the committee immediately terminates all proceedings respecting the complaint, except it, potentially a discussion of whether the complaint may have been frivolous. The proceedings of this group, of this committee, are public. By a majority vote of the whole committee, we may meet in executive session to determine the probable cause matter, and we may also meet in executive session to consider a member's medical or other health records, or to preserve privacy for a victim or a third party. And so there may be instances in a complaint where we feel like for the privacy of the victim or because of the nature of the materials we're looking at that we should meet in executive session in private and discuss. All the records are public. And records of the session are in the library. You can go back and look at existing ethics complaints and the work of the committee in past years. The library maintains a full documentation. There are specific requirements for how we maintain executive session requirements and how those are held in confidence. And if we get an ethics complaint, we will have a meeting on probable cause within 21 days of the of receiving the complaint. At that meeting, we will determine, or at a subsequent meeting, we will determine whether the probable cause exists to support the complaint. The committee may defer if there is a criminal and ongoing complaint that needs to be fully fleshed out and come to fruition before the committee wishes to judge. So one option is the committee could say in a particular instance that we're going to defer decision until we see the full criminal court proceedings. If a majority of the committee, and a majority of this committee is 3 votes, if a majority of the committee finds upon the complaint and supporting and rebutting evidence presented by the complainants and the member's name that there are sufficient factual evidence to believe that the allegations contained in the complaint are more probably true than not, and that if true they tend to support disciplinary action, the committee shall inform the speaker and the members named that it has found probable cause and shall continue to public hearings under Rule 10. If a majority of the committee fails to find probable cause, the complaint is dismissed. If the committee believes that the complaint has been brought and is frivolous, after the complaint is withdrawn or dismissed, the committee can immediately issue a public letter of approval to the complainants and recommend other disciplinary action against the complainants. There is an informal reconciliation process in point 9, and then there's some discussion about the hearing to make final committee determinations must be in public, except for the limited exceptions for some executive session pursuant to other rules. The committee makes a recommendation to the Minnesota House of Representatives for final disposition. We have a range in item 12, a range of possibly disciplinary actions that we could recommend. So it's always important to sort of hold those in mind, because the power, constitutional power, includes the power of the body to punish members, and not a power of the ethics committee to punish members. But the punishments are can be quite severe, including expulsion of the member. And they also can be somewhat modest, including some of the alternative dispute resolution recommendations at an earlier point, censure, reprimand, and counseling, and a wide variety of other maybe tailored responses that this committee could choose depending on the nature of the complaint. That ends my presentation of the procedures, the committee, which we adopt and then move forward with.
Is there a discussion? Representative D.
Actually, I have a question, Madam Chair. And as I'm looking at this, and when it talks about moving, making a non-public or a closed session, it says, except that the committee, upon a majority vote of the whole committee. So does that mean the four sitting members and the two alternates, or just the four sitting members, just for clarity?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, that means the four sitting members. The alternate members often attend the public hearings and are briefed in case they have to fill in for a sitting member, but then during the deliberation phase, alternate members often sit out, because at that point it's clear the sitting members are going to bring the complaint to resolution. And so it's upon a vote of the majority of the four members who are sitting.
Other questions, or Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along those same lines, so if the executive session is called, I assume that's the whole committee. Are alternates part of that procedure?
Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, remember, yes, they have been part of that procedure so that they can be fully briefed up. On the hypothetical that, for example, Representative Torkelson, you may not be able to complete your work on a long and extensive ethics committee through an unexpected circumstance. We all want ethics committees to go one meeting, two meetings, and over. Some of them may go multiple meetings over a number of months, at which point it's probably more important to keep the alternative members fully involved.
Any other questions? I probably should announce the membership. Representative Murphy, longtime member of the Ethics, is the lead from the DFL, and it's great to have you back.
Thank you.
And Representative Dean, and Representative Slocum is absent today because of illness. And then Representative Torkelson, I think this is your first time.
It is.
And welcome. And the alternate is Representative O'Neill.
Thank you
very much. The committee administrator is Craig Stone, here to my right, and Tom Brennan is our legislative committee assistant. So it is with great pleasure that I have the honor to chair this. And if there's no further discussion, I would call for a motion for adoption of the written procedures.
So moved.
Representative Dean moves that we adopt the written procedures in conformance with the prescriptions of House Rule 6.10. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The motion prevails, and the written procedures in conformance with the prescriptions of House Rule 6.10 are adopted. Mr. McCormick, if you would return to the table, I have a question about our code of conduct policy. Mr. McCormick, it does include employees of the House of Representatives as far as following our code, but we do not discipline them. Is that correct? Because they're employees, not elected officials, but we still have an expectation that they would abide by our code of conduct. Mr. McCormick.
Madam Chair, members, yes. The Committee on Ethics has one limited potential employee aspect, which is a complaint of violation of confidentiality. Under Rule 6.10, a complaint of a breach of confidentiality by a member or employee of the House must be immediately referred to the Speaker, by the Speaker, to the Ethics Committee for disciplinary action. That's never happened. If the Code of Conduct itself applies to all employees of the House and all members of the House, and if a member of my staff or of any of the employees of the House was in violation of the Code of Conduct, that would be an internal disciplinary matter for their supervisor.
Thank you very much. Members, as we look at our Code of Conduct, which is included in the packet, I'm wondering if we would like to have a subsequent meeting to discuss how we want to handle the use of social media now that it has become a viable source of communication within our chamber, outside our chamber. Any comment? For example, would we want to amend the statement of treat everyone with respect, fairness, and courtesy, including when using social media, or Representative Torkelson.
Chair, if I'm not mistaken, the committee has some history regarding social media. Is that not remembering correctly, or did it not come to the Ethics Committee?
Representative Torkelson, it did not come.
Okay.
As a complaint, at least.
I remember an incident, but I do not
yes.
remember it came to the committee.
Mr. Stone.
Madam Chair, I believe Representative Murphy chaired the committee when a complaint such as that came to the committee.
And perhaps that was what I wasn't serving. Representative Murphy,
that's correct.
Do you want to recall that?
No, I don't want to recall that.
I stand corrected then, because I was not serving perhaps when that may have occurred.
Madam Chair, did...
Representative Murphy.
Madam Chair, did you receive any written communication to your plea?
Representative Murphy, I did not.
In writing?
I did not.
I think we might have to let it percolate for a while to see what if people will say something or do something. It was like Wednesday or Thursday, right?
That Thursday.
Came out, and then you talked about it on the floor. Too.
Yes, Wednesday and Thursday.
So let's see what people think. But I would think that even with social media being used so widely by people, that's part of our conduct.
Yes.
And so to specifically say that, then we might have to get more specific on a whole bunch of other things, like swearing or bad-mouthing and things. And I think that the generalness of our code and our policies is a positive thing for us, and I hate to get smaller and smaller about it.
Thank you, Representative Murphy. Your wisdom is certainly respected. And I will ensure that we have copies of this at our desks on the House floor. And I think that's a reminder to all of us that we have this code by which we live.
And
Representative Murphy.
I do have a question, Mr. McCormick. As long as we're on the Code of Conduct, and it's for, to go back to the employees part that you brought out, how do the employees get told about the Code of Conduct?
Mr. McCormick.
It's in their book, I know, but...
Madam Chair, members, yes, it's in the employee handbook that are, not the handbook, but in some of the employee briefing materials that a new employee should get in my department. It's part of a ongoing training. At a certain point after this committee is adopted, the Chair will put this on the members, the desks of members, and I will share the code with all the House staff and let them know that they're bound by it.
Very good. Very good. Representative Dean.
So, thank you, Madam Chair. So when I look at the code of conduct, we don't call out sort of any specific area. We don't call out TV. We don't call out newspapers. We don't call out specific things in media. And I think that, you know, to what Representative Murphy was saying, that when we start calling out one thing, are we then required to call out all of the things? So it just is something, you know, if we say social media, first off, how is that defined? Does it include anything that you can do through electronic media as social media? And, you know, we don't call out letters to the editor in the newspapers. We don't call out being disrespectful on film to fellow members or on video or some type of visual capture of what members say. So I would hope that if we have this dialogue that it's robust dialogue, because we could be opening up the proverbial can of worms, and I would hate to see that happen.
Thank you, Representative Dean. And I'm correct, I think, in saying that when we adopt House rules in a permanent fashion, this could come up as one of the discussion points. Correct, Mr. Stone?
Madam Chair, as I understand the House rule, this committee simply advises the Rules Committee on the Code of Conduct policy and whether it needs to be changed. And Mr. McCormick can correct me that this Code of Conduct policy was adopted many legislative sessions ago now, and it hasn't changed since.
Mr. McCormick.
I'm sure members, that's correct. The last time it was adopted is in 2007, and if the Rules Committee wants a specific debate, they could refer that to the Ethics Committee, or if the Ethics Committee has a specific change it wants to recommend, it could recommend that to the Rules Committee. As in either of those courses, the Code of Conduct then would persist.
So, Mr. McCormick, what if I want some technical changes?
Madam Chair, if you want to make technical changes, we would be happy to draft those up for you, but then those would need to be adopted by the Rules Committee.
Oh, okay. I mean, just a comma here, or I think I've been looking at this for too long. Thank you, Mr. McCormick. Other discussions? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that I would agree with Representatives Dean and Murphy that I think that, you know, all of our conduct, whether it be social or other, I think it's covering all of that, and I'd prefer not to go into the specifics because, as we know, things change so quickly.
Awesome. Any other comments? So, members, I think our business then is concluded. Thank you very much, Mr. McCormick, and thank you to your staff and to those who attended, and mostly to the members. I'll make sure that we have a code of conduct at our desks or emailed as well, and Mr. McCormick will take care of staff. So with that, members, this meeting is adjourned.